I think the rabbi may be muted. I think we're muted. We can't hear anything from the base. Is that just me?
No, I can't hear him either.
Bass, turn on the sound in the bass. One second. Okay. That's.
Everybody's equal in their poverty vis-a-vis the ice cream. Nobody needs that loan more than anybody else. So what did we say yesterday, Malachim Bav? We said in that situation, you go, be a Stroll Schaefer or Zevi Cohen. The Cohen comes first. He gets priority, and if he's lactose intolerant, doesn't eat ice cream, so then you go to the Levi and then the Yisrael. But if one of them is a Talmid Chacham, he catapults above everybody, even if he's a Mamzer. He catapults in front of Yisrael Schaefer. One of them is greater in Chachma than the other people. And that you're going to have to work out to see how do we calculate who's a greater Talmid Chacham than someone else. I would suggest talking to Rabbi Beller about those distinctions. Okay. Now we're in Zion, same fact pattern. If one of the people, I guess let's go back to the ice cream, is the rabbi who's your number one, muvhak is your number one rabbi. Everybody has many rabbis that they have, but the number one rabbi, the muvhak one, who is that? That you learn the majority of your learning from him. The majority of the learning. Some people don't have a rabbi muvhak. Some people don't have, they have many, many rabbis, and each one, they learn a little bit here, a little bit there, a little bit there. But the one who taught you the majority of your wisdom, how to learn, let's say, that's the whole idea, the learning how to learn, how to paskin, etc., all these things, how to live. If there's one rabbi who did that, he gets the ice cream. He gets the loan first from Yonah Schoenfeld. Or if his father, Yonah's father's on the trip with us, he's going to get that first. Because again, we're all equal in status. Nobody's more poor than anybody else. You would go to the Kohen, the Levi, or the Talmid Chacham beats all of that. Now, father, put Karov in there, right? He is going to be the winner over anybody else on the Tiul. Except, maybe, is Rabbi Muvhak. Okay, so let's assume I'm in the trip and your father's on the trip. That's the next case. So that, let's say Rav Nevinsol's on the trip too. Okay, you have Rav Nevinsol, all of us, and Yonah's father on the trip. Who gets it? This is a hard question. So now, if Rav Nevinsol's on the trip, he's going to beat everybody. Okay, no, not everybody. Start again. We're all, let's put everybody on the trip. Everybody's on the trip. Says Rabbi Akiva Eiger. Okay, that's the next law. We can't put everybody on the trip yet. That's next. What's that? He's also a lady. That's a problem. So let's leave Rabbi Nevinsol out of this. He's going to be in the next law. So now we have either me or Yonah's father on the trip. We beat everybody else. He didn't put me against Yonah's father yet. If it's all of us, we're all equal, we all want the ice cream, it's Yonah's father's on the trip, he wins, okay? If I'm on the trip, I win. Assuming I'm in Rabbi Muvhak. Ba'afilu l'Talmid Chacham. Even if Rav Nevinsol's on the trip, me and your father are going to beat Rav Nevinsol. Because you didn't learn from Nevinsol. Just the Talmid Chacham. So who wins? Either your father beats the Talmid Chacham, or maybe Rav Nevinsol is a Talmid Chacham Muflag. Maybe we should leave him out of this. That's another law that's in Shulchan Aruch. It's not going to be here. But it could be that a person like Rav Nevinsol, since he's one of the Gedolim Ador, he has the status of your Rabbah Muflag. So let's leave him out of it. Let's grab... Give me some time. Rabbi Silberman, okay? He he's a good rabbi, one of the Zilberman rabbis. He's not one of the Gedolim Ador. He's a regular Talmid Chacham. Okay? He's going to lose to me or to your father on the trip. Good? That's what he just said here. Fine. Don't tell Rabbi Zilberman I said he's not a big Talmid Chacham like I've never saw. Bikata Bikadusha Riki Meager. Rabbi Kiva Eger writes, "Duhu adin shar krovim, krovim gamkin letamecha." Now we have a new wrinkle of Rabbi Kiva Eger, who writes that even your brother is going to beat Rabbi Zilberman. Okay, because again, he's your karov, he's with you, he's in the pasuk imach, right? So he's going to remember. Everybody's the same status financially. We cannot have to erase that factor. For this equation, ice cream, it's a good example. So now we have a blood relative, a brother, father, mother, someone like on that level that we listed yesterday. He's going to beat the Talmid Chacham. Maybe not the Gadol Ador, but a regular Talmid Chacham, he beats him if he's on the trip also with us to get the loan. Okay? Yes.
What about father-in-law?
We're going to get to him. Okay? Ches, Avi. Now it's me against your father, okay? On the trip. Up until now, all we were saying was that the father or your rabbi beats everybody else. Even the Talmid Chacham, Rabbi Kiva Eger extends and says any blood relative is also going to beat a Talmid Chacham, but not necessarily your father. Your brother can't beat your father. He beats everybody in the family, the father. And now we want to know about the father versus the rabbi. So here it comes, the tiebreaker. Both of us are on the trip together now. Me and Dr. Schoenfeld? No, Mr. Schoenfeld. Rabo kodem aviv. I beat your father. Okay, wait, not so fast. Shirabo mevi l'chai olam haba, because your rabbi takes you to the next world, olam haba. The aviv brought olam hazeh. Only to olam hazeh. So who wins? The rabbi. If your father was equal in chachma, in wisdom, he never taught you, but he's the Talmid Chacham like your rabbi, then he wins Aviv Kodem because he has chachma. What?
He hasn't taught you like a Torah.
No, he hasn't taught you anything.
He hasn't taught you Torah as well.
No, but he's the Talmid Chacham equal to the rabbi, plus he's your father, he wins. We just saw. Okay? This is all coming from Hilchos Tzedakah that's being imported now to loans. Okay? Now, Nicole said all of what we just said, that your rabbi, Muhak, is the beats everybody, so to speak. It's Dafka when his rabbi teaches you for free. Okay? But about Im Aviv, if your father pays the bill, okay? Socher lo rabo milando. He hires a rabbi to go and teach his son. Now his father comes first in those situations, okay? Did you want to ask a question, Michelle? No? That is what we see here. Now let's understand this law about what is it that the father pays the money and takes over the highest status. So says in the... It's in the Ramah here. The Tiva Chesed quotes the Ramah in Simon Reish Nun Beis, I believe. Let's go. And this is from the Sefer Hasidim. Sefer Hasidim is the source of this law. And he writes, Sham, V'im harab lo ratza lilamdo. The Sefer Hasidim is a little bit worse than what the Chaim writes down. Look carefully, whoever has the Makor Chesed Chafdalid downstairs, look at how he writes the Sefer Hasidim. And how the Chafetz Chaim changes it. Sefer Hasidim writes, "V'im harav lo rotze lelamdo ela b'schirus." The rabbi doesn't want to teach the student except if he gets paid. He's like making a condition. I'm not going to teach your son unless you pay me. V'yehudi or Yehudit or some other Jewish person pays the bill. I'm not your father. Any other person. Notnim lo haschirus Lilamdo, they pay, the Jewish person pays the rabbi to teach the kid. As Avedat Baal, Hanotem Kodemes. This is the shot. Then the person who's paying that bill, he gets the Hashavas Aveda. This is what we're learning right now. All these laws are coming from Hashavas Aveda, Hilchos Tzedaka, all of these priorities. Who gets the Hashavas Aveda first? It's same idea. Now, who gets the loan? The person who's paying the bill. This is also in Hadrosh Rabbi Akiva Eger and the Shulchan Aruch. Fine. Now, upstairs, it looks as though if the rab im haya aviv shakul, I'm sorry, because it is sharabu melando bechinam, if he teaches him free.
Okay.
There's a little case here. If the rabbi is ready to do it for free, right? But the father pays anyway. He says, listen, clearly you can pay. You don't want to pay? Don't pay. Who wins there? So from the Sefer Hasidim, the source, it seems clear the rabbi wins, right? It's only when the rabbi says, I'm not doing it unless you pay me. I'm not going to teach this kid nothing. Then the rabbi loses. But according to the Chafetz Chaim, he doesn't make this chiluk of whether or not the rabbi will do it, but would prefer to get paid. He just says, if you get paid, you lose. And if you don't get paid, the rabbi wins. That's the way Chafetz Chaim writes it. I'm not sure why he didn't make this distinction. Yes, Yisrael.
In the middle case, that random guy paid the bill.
Another guy paid the bill. The Chafetz Chaim leaves that out also. He just talked about the father paying the bill.
What happens if the dad has the Veda and the rabbi has the
Veda? And someone else pays it?
Yeah.
That's a hard one, because one second, we want to know, Yisrael Schaefer's question is a bizarre question. The Sefer HaChassidim, Charedim, Chassidim, explains that it's lav dafka the father who takes over as the priority over the rabbi if he pays the bill, but even if another person pays the bill, okay? Well, your auntie pays the bill, okay? So daddy won't pay the bill, rabbi won't work for nothing, right? Won't do it for nothing, and the auntie comes in and pays the bill, and what happens? Now it's the rabbi versus the father. The rabbi lost his power because he's not paying the bill. He's not doing it for free. The father is not paying the bill either. Auntie's paying the bill, she doesn't need a loan. She's not on the deal with us. Who gets it should be the father. His father should get it because he's the karov. He should beat the rabbi. The rabbi loses his power because he's doing it against his. I don't know about that. Hold the phone. No, not necessarily true. That's one way to look at it. But it could be. Gosh. This is a Musa Shmooze. What are we doing? I'm not sure. That's a good question. There's another way to look at this. Okay.
It's technically, it looks like that it brings up the guy that paid the money, not bringing down the route.
Correct. It could be that the fact that the auntie paid the bill for your learning, your tuition bill, doesn't mean that your father goes up. Your father could have gone up if he paid the bill, right, and surpassed your rabbi. But now that your father did not pay the bill, he stays in his place, and the rabbi doesn't go down because he doesn't want to get paid. It's just that the father doesn't go up. And auntie has no shot against the rabbi. She's not here on the tiul. So I'm not sure. This question is an unclear question. An unclear question. Father-in-law is nothing. Nothing. The father-in-law has no priority here at all. Go ahead.
What does it mean exactly that the rabbi is getting paid? Does it mean he's getting paid directly for the teaching, or does it just mean that he's getting money?
What do you mean?
Because I understand that a lot of people don't get paid for teaching, they'll get paid for the loss of their time or for other
right, same thing. It doesn't make a difference. You shouldn't take money for the actual teaching. You should get scar batala. That's a different law. It doesn't make a difference.
It's different. It just matters that the rabbi is getting money.
Correct. He won't do it unless he's getting some payment for the teaching.
Why doesn't the father win over the rabbi? Of being a car.
Why doesn't
the rabbi's not a father?
The rabbi is not a kara.
He's doing it only because he's getting paid.
Right.
And the father, the father is not paying. The father's not paying, but he's a kara. Why doesn't that make the father
win? That's one side. That's one way to look at it. The other way to look at it is that the rabbi still is Rebbe Mupak. It's still his number one rabbi who beats his father. Now, the only we said, if he gets paid, and the father pays, he loses to the father. Right? Because the father now is paying for the rabbi, so he overcomes the rabbi. But now the father's not paying. So does the father beat the rabbi or not? That's the two sides that Yisrael Schaefer is unclear about. I don't know the answer. Okay? But imagine if you actually, imagine if you lived a life that you were on the field, you were actually thinking about these things. And you knew what to do, what Hashem wants you to do. Do you realize how exciting that ice cream distribution, the money for that would be? As opposed to just, okay, whoever comes first, I'll give it to. First comes that, or of course I'm going to give it to David because he's my best friend, he's right next to that. He always wakes up in the morning when I wake him up, I like him, etc. Imagine if you have this level of sophistication in your brain, and you're thinking about just a simple ice cream, and this is all amidst the horizon. How many people do you know are actually going through this process? That is what we're doing here. One of the producers that I learned with in America, he asked me, we were learning also similar halachas in El Mitzias, and he said to me, do you guys actually think about this? You guys, he's just becoming more firm now. Did you really do this? You guys are teaching people to think this way, to see about what's more important, and actually live this, or is this just a sterile intellectual thing where you're using your brain to figure out all these distinctions and principles and philosophies, but do you actually live this? I said, I try. That's the whole point. If you don't Lilmud Admaras Lassos is the highest level of learning. I really encourage you to try to think about what it would be like to actually know the, and it's like this in every situation. If it's regarding ice creams on a tiul, you have doraisas flying around when people want to get to eat something at the guy in the ice cream stand. Think about what we're talking about. There's tons of Torah here. We keep everybody's fighting about who gets that ice cream. From them, it all pops in. Everybody, what we're talking about here, and how much could be going on in your brain, but it's not going to happen naturally. I want to say this again: it's not going to happen naturally that we learn the book Avas Hesed and you decide to integrate this in your life. That decision, you're learning, is one thing. To do, I forgot. I didn't know. I didn't do it. I don't like halacha. Not good enough. Think about what we're talking about. What. The other side, when you know all this and you never do anything about it, you know all this chachma, you know all these svaras and chilukim and what a father is, and now you have a new definition of a father and a new definition of your rabbi now because of this sif, a new consciousness of what is a rabbi, what is tuition, what is schar, what all these things, what is a relative, who is a poor, poverty, you're thinking about all these things, you don't do anything about it. You ignore it when Shas Mice comes. That's damaging. That is not going to make an integrated person. That's going to make a schizophrenic person. I don't want to say schizophrenic literally, because he's not schizophrenic, but he is living two lives, this guy. He's got two lives. On the one hand, he learns, he knows everything up here, but when it comes to doing it, he doesn't know anything. He doesn't know anything. He doesn't make even an issue about it. That's also not healthy. Very unhealthy. Worse to know and then I do. Gosh, you spent 2 weeks on this, you didn't do anything about it. You're learning so much about whatever it was, tefillah, when we did the tefillah program or the Mashiach. You don't think about it? It's very strange. Strange. So my chavrusa asked me yesterday night, he said, you guys implement this? I said, we try hard. It's already a huge thing. Just trying, wanting to take your brain and connect it to your behavior, your feelings, your life. It's a huge thing. It changes you. It really does. And it'll happen through osmosis. You stay here for years and years. Eventually you get a little more, a little more, but to actually change completely and take the Torah and put it into you, that's a goal. That's a goal I would like to do, to be able to take a higher percentage of what I learned to make it part of me, more than what I do now. Gigantic life changer. Just think about that. Let's continue. So, father-in-law's nothing, Nachman, nothing. You know, man, I don't even know, it's nothing. It's not so much, okay? Let's do one more test. We actually did this already, but we'll do it again, okay? We did it a long time ago, he's repeating it now. Vidat. If this that we said at the beginning of this chapter, Sif Aleph, the Ani Ashir, that if you have a poor person versus a rich man, that the poor person wins. And all the other Dini Kedimos that we just learned up until now in this Simbin, Hayu Kishishne Bechina. Both, all of these laws are when the loan is going to be a free loan. Both of them are asking for a free loan. We went back to the ribbis, Hefter Iska, that we discussed in the beginning. Aval, im ha'ashir rotze likach mimenu ha'maos. If the rich man wants to borrow the money, we have to leave Yonah now in the ice cream. If the rich man wants to borrow the money from you with a Hefter Iska, that you're going to pay interest. V'yelo revach mizen. And now the lender is going to get profits. He's getting money now from the rich man. If you lend it to the poor guy, you're not going to get any money. You're not going to get profits. And you do not have the financial ability to give up on this profit. We discussed this. You're not a guy who's rich enough to lend for free. You need the heter iska. You need it. Then you do not have to lend it to the poor man for free. Okay? Ra'ayim la'al perak aleph shekatavnu b'shem achinuch the mitzvah aseh shel halvah, the mitzvah aseh of lending money, talui lekol echad efi kefi asakas yado. The mitzvah is only dependent on your financial tax bracket. How much can you afford? The mitzvah is completely dependent on your financial capability. If you can't handle it, you're putter from the mitzvah. You don't have a chiyuv. If you can handle it, you have a chiyuv to do that law. That's the standard. V'al zeh, v'kayote b'zeh, amru chachmenu zichronu v'bracha b'chum b'tziyan l'amad gimel. Efes ki lo yeh b'cha ev yom. That's the pasuk that we invar that you cannot become. This is the drash of Chazal. You can do all the lending and tzedakah you want, but you can't get tzedakah and become poor in order to fulfill your mitzvah. Shelcha kodem l'shelkol adam. You're number one. You have to make sure that you can live. Now that's the instruction that everybody takes and says, I can't give a loan. I got to make more money. I'm going to be poor. Now he's going to address the people who overreact to this law. Ah, however, b'kegon zeh, if you're in the situation where you want to say, I can't afford it to give it for free. I can't handle it. I need that interest. I need the heter iska. Sorry, ha'adam v'yashev heitev ba'atzmo. You have to sit down and think. Here, this man is living the Torah that he's teaching. Look at what he's saying now. You have to sit down alone and think, in be'emes, is it really true? En yado maseges lazeh? Is it really true that you can't afford to make this loan to the poor guy for free? Ki hayetzer, your yetzer hara le'olam yifateyu. He's always going to seduce you, entice you, to tell you, she'en yado maseges, I don't have the money. We don't have enough. We can't make it. We can't do it. We need to lend it to the rich man and get the heter iska. Being be'emes yado maseges. And if it's really true that you can give the loan for free, but who co-fakes yado, and you pull your hand back, and say, I can't do it. I don't have the money. I'm scared. I need more. And you pull your hand back from doing a chesed to somebody else, mi yira, because you're afraid. I don't want to become poor. You know, the pasuk says I can't become poor by doing chesed. I'm first. Sof davar, listen to this. Sof davar, what's going to happen at the end with this guy? You will become poor if you have anxiety that I can't do chesed, can't give bit when you really do have the money. And you say, no, I can't. I'll be poor. I can't do this. We won't be able to pay the bills. And you really can pay the bills without this. You can make it. Then the promise is you're going to become poor one day, says the Chassam. Good luck. Anybody, he's explaining, you have anxiety, you're too careful about your own financial status. So, you will become poor. You're going to be the person who really cannot make the loan. That's your bracha, klala, however you want to look at that. That's the spiritual physics that are in place right now. Call Zehu Lav Dafka Inyan Zeh, Lav Dafka to making loans. You want to invest money, not a loan, a heter iska. You want to make an investment in stocks. You want to buy Apple, some big stock, okay? And you have some poor person who knocks on your door and asks you for a loan. And you say, listen, I want to give it that. I better put an Apple. I want to buy Apple now. I don't have time to give you money. I don't have money. But you really do. Can you afford it? But you need Apple computers. And if you really do need investment in order to make it, then you're okay. And if you really don't need that investment in order to be able to pay your bills and the money is there, you got to take it out of the stock and give it to him. That's what he's saying here. And if not, you'll be poor. You'll be poor. He's thinking about implementing the Chafetz Chaim. He wants you to think about it. Let's try hard to put this into practice. We did. Yeah.